praise. God, there's a river of God's anointing coming to you today from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad to be able to share the word with you today, live as always, live in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me today from our Beacon of Hope radio team, we have a big team and we kind of rotate a lot. So nobody does this every Sunday except me, which I love doing it. So it's okay. Connie Farmer to my right, my dear, dear friend and director of counseling at Beacon of Hope. And we've been super busy, haven't we, Connie? Things have been good. We're growing like crazy. We're growing. And to my left, Madeline Ercolano, our drummer.
Hello.
Oh, yes.
That's our drummer.
Boom, yes. Boom. What a great drummer that you are. Yes, you are. And did we have wild praise and worship today, Madeline?
It was pretty wild.
It was fun, wasn't it?
A lot of fun.
Yeah, and you're a wild drummer. You just cut loose on
this. She's a rock star.
She's a rock star. And does the anointing of God, I mean, before we ever even started the first song, I don't know about you all, but I felt it as we were practicing before the service, and then people started pouring in, and it was just fun to all get together and hug and start the service in such a dramatic way. It was just so cool. And what, I mean, great uplifting music. It's just powerful. And what does it do for you, Madeline, as you're worshiping God? Why do you come to church besides the fact that you play drums for us and everything else that you do around there? But, I mean, why? Why be in a service like that?
Gosh, I mean, there's nothing negative you can say from the minute we walk in, especially because we come in early to practice.
Right.
And we have our music practice. That starts the anointing. And then we have our, you know, our prayer time before we come out to start the service, and that usually is, you know,
it's just wild
very
in
intense.
There in my office, yeah,
and,
our office.
And then we get to do the music again with everyone there and having all of that energy,
right?
You know, just to keep the flow. And then we had a special guest there today, Yvette, who did a wonderful dance interpretation, or I guess,
I think that's
a sign language interpretation.
It's beautiful.
And it just keeps that Holy Spirit just flowing throughout all service long. It's
just powerful.
It's cool.
It's so cool. It's just so, so fun to be at church. Don't you think, Connie?
Yes, I can't stay away.
You never could you?
No. Well, at first I could.
At first?
I ran off.
You ran off, yeah. We're back in 03, yeah. And then you decided that you wanted to hang out with us.
Yeah, and then I started arranging my schedule so that I was for sure going to be there for Bible study. And
yeah.
But, you know, every Sunday it's... I mean, I can't get there soon enough because I just want to see what God's going to do.
Yes.
And today was a hard day for me because I just felt like there was constant attacks coming from all kinds of areas.
Spiritual attacks where you're having to pray and fight things.
And maybe that's why I was so tired after service, because I felt like I battled all morning long.
Yeah.
And
it'll do that to you. Plus, we had a big weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday night, a bunch of our people went to Casting Crowns concert, and I didn't get to go, but y'all said it was fantastic, right?
That was a service in itself. I mean, it was so wonderful.
Yeah.
Because they do a lot of ministering and kind of teaching, I think, throughout the concert, and there were several bands before them. So it was, you know, like 4 hours of just wonderful praise and worship, intense praise and worship. It was great.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Aaron and Terry are walking into the studio right now, and they were there.
They were there.
Yes, they were there, and, you know, we all love Casting Crowns music. I think you've got one of their songs on today,
yes,
Life
I
of Praise.
I could not have one.
That's right. And Aaron and Terry, Aaron's our guitar player and lead singer on a lot of the songs, and just a real blessing that you all are... You know, the praise band is just huge, and we went for a while without one because a lot of things had happened. The truck ran through our building. All kinds of stuff happened. We had to put everything in storage. But, you know, it makes us appreciate it now, I think, Connie, so much more.
Oh, yeah.
The, what we do have, it's just amazing. Amazing to me what God is doing in so many lives. And then we can't leave out the fact that yesterday was our Beacon of Hope Thanksgiving dinner. And at my house, and my house is very small, and we had tons
of people.
And tons of food. And tons we were all bigger food. By the end of the day there. So the house got even smaller.
The house got smaller. And we, Bill, you should have been there. You should have been there. I tell you what, we had a feast like you wouldn't believe. Great big old turkey, big old ham, all kinds of everything else. And I know you're going to say where your plate is, but sorry.
That's right.
Connie.
Poor Elroy.
Poor guy.
I'm doing, Connie. I'm glad I could have been there.
Oh, you are so bad. You are, just get him. You're going to have to hit him.
No, oh. I could have been there.
I can't be violent.
You had to work, I know.
She
but
can't be violent. I'm glad
not,
I'm here.
Oh, you're doing Connie's impression of Connie. All right, Bill Elroy, the traffic boy.
Elroy.
All right, some of you don't know what that means. He was Elroy,
but
the traffic
I love
boy
Connie.
Years ago.
She is Bill. Awesome.
She
I
is
love
awesome. Bill. Absolutely. So anyway, we're all glad that you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. It's exciting what God is doing. We are so blessed at this Thanksgiving season 2011 to just have so much abundance in our lives that God provides. We are going on with our series today, Being Blessed Beyond, and it is going to bless you tremendously. This is probably about part 7, I don't mm-hmm. know. Is it part 7?
Yes.
All right, Being Blessed
well,
Beyond.
Yes.
Listen to this first song by Avalon. Woo, Hide My Soul. Praise God. That's a good song by Avalon. Hide My Soul in Jesus.
That was a special request.
That was a special request?
Yeah.
All right. That's a nice song. Okay. We're talking. Go ahead.
Did you know we had a request for next week's Sunday worship?
No.
A couple people asked for certain songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's cool that we can accommodate.
We might.
Okay. You know what? It's just such a blessing to be able to share the word with you, Radio Land, and interested listeners. God is doing such a mighty thing in so many people. It's a new day in a lot of people's lives. And today we are talking again about Joseph and his brothers. We're kind of in Genesis 43, but we're also going to be just talking about some major principles in God's word in relation to the story of Joseph and his brothers, and really kind of get at some nitty-gritty aspects of our Heavenly Father that we serve and we love so much. When we talk about Joseph and his brothers in chapter 43, kind of beginning there, there was this 5 years of abundance, and then there were the 7 years of abundance, and then 7 years of famine is what it was prophesied through Joseph, because Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream that the Pharaoh had. And this is back a couple chapters ago. And so the dreams, there were two of them, and they were interpreted by Joseph. That's what got Joseph his get out of jail free card, right? Mm-hmm. Because he was stuck in jail, and then he actually was the one who gave the interpretation, and the Pharaoh realized this was correct. This was the right interpretation. 7 years of abundance, then 7 years of famine. During that time, the brothers of Joseph that had sold him into slavery down in Canaan, in the Promised Land, they became hungry, and their father Jacob said, "I need you to go to Egypt to get us some food." Now, Joseph was appointed, and this is finding favor. Wow. He was appointed the second in command over the entire country of Egypt, because Joseph said to the Pharaoh after he did the interpretation, he said, "Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to stockpile all this abundance, and then you need to ration it out accordingly so that you have enough during the years of famine." And so the Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph's wisdom, he said, "You know what? I'm making you second in command." And I think it's really cool that when we step out and we listen to the voice of God, sometimes it may apply to our work situation where we are, where God gives us an answer for some situation. And I don't know if that's ever happened to either one of you, but where you just feel like, okay, this is the best way to do it, and your boss actually listens to you. And something happens, and you find favor with those you work with. And I believe this is one thing that God wants to do for those that are walking in this being blessed beyond any expectation. He wants us to not just go to work every day. He wants us to do our work excellently. Madeline, do you have a comment to that? I mean, with wisdom, with vavoom. I don't know what kind of word is that, but I mean, you know, with punch. I mean, with doing it up to the best of our ability. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I feel like we have a great example for the last week, or has it been the last 2 weeks, with the requests for prayer that have been coming in.
Amazing.
Know, the people that send out, you know, people send in prayer requests to the
prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
And then that comes out to all the members and the prayer team warriors. And, you know, I love the way even the prayer requests are worded. They're, you know, there's prayer in them already. They're, you know, telling us, you know, what's going on in people's lives, and
right.
then, you know, leading us a little bit in prayer. And I feel like with the amount of prayer requests there have been, and the intensity level, you know, the
yes.
serious health issues we've had.
Serious stuff.
And the response that we've had from, you know, the people who are praying, and the response we've gotten from these people who have been, you know, at death's door
right.
and are back, you know, from death's door with
exactly.
their stories of God's grace. I mean, we respond. They did what they had to do. They sent in the prayer requests. We did the prayers, and, you know, and God, through everybody, has healed these people
yes.
miraculously.
Unbelievably.
And we need to spread that news, because
Ooh, yes.
we have to let everybody know God is right here working, doing his miracles every single day.
Mm.
Every single day.
Amen. And that goes right along with this point, because everything Joseph did, when we see his story all through this, you know, today we kind of want to talk more about the big major points here, not just the nitty gritty. He did this and then he did that. We want to talk about the big concepts here. And so this is one of the major concepts, that when you have a job to do, you do it with all your might. Mm-hmm. You know, now when it comes to the prayer team, okay, we have had, Carol said we had so many more requests this month of November than normal. I mean, it's just way up there in volume. And so when we have all these requests, okay, we could say, oh, that's nice, so-and-so's sick. All right, I'll think I'll remember to pray for him. And Connie, how effective would that be?
Very minimal.
Why?
Because God expects us to ask for what we want.
Right.
And if we want this person to be healed, then we just need to ask for it.
Exactly. And we need to. There's been some this week that have not just healing things, financial things. There's been other things going on in people's lives. Mm-hmm. But when we take our job seriously as prayer warriors, I think that's huge, because I don't believe Joseph ever slacked off. Ever, his entire life. I mean, we know that he was in prison, but we know that God used him in the prison. Mm-hmm. You know, he became the head jailer. You know, the head jailer said, I'm going to put you in charge of the whole prison. This is after he gets thrown in prison for false accusation as a prisoner.
The prisoner is the head of the prison.
Now, the prisoner was the head of the prison, yes. And it's just amazing, the favor. I mean, favor. Amazing favor. Psalm 512, David said, God, you surround me with favor like a shield. Okay? And that's what we're seeing here. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, and it's especially when there were so many extra prayer requests, it's real easy. And I know for me, too. I mean, we don't all have time. These prayer requests were coming in. I mean, my mailbox was slammed, you know, and I thought, oh, gosh, you know, I don't have time. So what I did was I saved them up. There's been times where I've gotten them and I've just kind of said the prayer that was in them. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, OK, you know what their needs are. I don't have time. You know, so I tried.
Because it happens all day, all evening.
It happens all day. So I tried, decided, okay, I'm going to set aside a time so that I could devote time to it. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to find that time, but you have to do it. And because when you do, you see the results. And I'm lifted up when I do it. I mean, so everyone is being blessed. It's not just, okay, we're saying a prayer for this person or these people. You know, you're getting so much out of it. And it's building your faith. And then you get the results and you just want to jump for joy. I was so, you know,
so
psyched,
cool.
Especially for that one person, just because that would seem to be
Mary.
The most dire, mm-hmm. you know, situation. And
the most impossible.
And God really, too. I felt like, let me know, this was not a problem
right.
for him. And I felt it.
She
it
was giving up.
Like it was going to be okay.
One of my former parishioners in Indiana, and maybe some of my Indiana people are listening, but Mary was given up on Monday, this past Monday, that the doctor said the cardiac. It's the cardiac. Alrighty then. That the Hardiac Institute was, there wasn't anything they could do for her. And they honestly did say to her family, her mother, Donna, and the family, that there wasn't anything else that could be done. And I know you, for one, because I kept getting emails from you, Madeline, and others, too, where you said, wait a minute, we're not giving up on this girl. Mm-hmm. We are not giving up on this woman. She's got children. She's, you know, on and on and on. You just said, I'm not giving up. You know, and I think that is what God is calling intercessors to do in these days. You and I were talking about intercessory mm-hmm. prayer the other day, Madeline, and we have got to do more with that, teaching that mm-hmm. at Beacon of Hope, because it is so important. An intercessor is somebody who stands in the gap. It's standing in the gap between the problem and between the answer. And the intercessor is right here going, all right. Here's how we're going to get to the answer. I'm going to be praying for you. I am going to really be praying for you. I'm going to pray for you when I don't feel like praying for you. I'm going to pray for you when God wakes me up in the middle of the night and I've got to be told to pray. I'm going to pray for you. That is the kind of commitment that God is calling mm-hmm. for people today. And I honestly believe, now it's not here in so many words, but I believe, because we see the life of Joseph, that from the time he was sold into slavery by his brothers, that he never quit praying for them. That he never quit saying, God, I'd like to have a reconciliation someday with my brothers. God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I don't want to go down to the grave never seeing my brothers and my dad again. I believe that kind of groaning, because the reason I believe that is because in these chapters 43 and more of Genesis, there is such a compassion that comes out of Joseph. He can't hardly stand to look at his brothers without crying. He excuses himself and leaves the room several times to go and cry. You know, he is just beside himself with the compassion for his brothers, which Joseph is a type of Jesus. So that's how Jesus feels about us. So, Connie, what happens when we have difficult people or difficult situations in our lives? What are we to do? What is God's answer for that? Joseph had the ultimate betrayal. He was betrayed by his very flesh and blood. His 10 brothers threw him into a pit and then sold him into slavery. I mean, come on. That's pretty darn bad. Most of us have not been sold into slavery.
No, but we've been abandoned by our families.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case.
And it's something that, you know, you just have to live with and pray for them.
You pray for them.
Keep praying for
them. Doesn't feel good. When families abandon you, walk away from you, and when they feel that you're less than for whatever reason that might be, or maybe you've made choices they didn't agree with, and they have a hard time with that. And it's hard. It's very hard. Boy, this show's taking a different turn.
Yes.
Okay, and there may be some of you out there that need to hear this today, because God does not promise us that everybody will always like us, support us, agree with us, or be on the same page with us, especially family members.
Yeah, even the
and this is what happened with Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a broader stroke here about Joseph, but it's so important because you know that Joseph, from the time he was a little boy, was different. He had a relationship with God that was intense. God gave him dreams. Joseph was a kid, and he shared those dreams with his dad and his brothers and everybody, and they made fun of him. They said, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" And I know that some of us have had family members that have said, "What is this going to church all the time? And then what are you talking like that? And yeah, you don't have time for that." I mean, and really made people feel less than in whatever area.
Well, and you know, I mean, in our community, we're supposed to be burning in hell.
You're talking about gay community, yeah.
We're supposed to be burning in hell or going to hell in a handbasket.
Sure.
You know, who are you to go to church?
Right.
And who are you to talk about God?
But we do remember John 3:16, right?
Exactly.
For God so
I
loved
do.
The world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, whether you have stripes, whether you are adopted, whether you are gay, straight, whatever you are, God loves people. It's not about that. Madeline, you want to comment on that?
Well, I mean, there's not much more to say than that. I mean, you know, it's a gray area because, you know, people have so many feelings about it from one end of the spectrum to the other. But, I mean, I certainly believe that, you know, I believe that he made me the way I am. He made all of us the way we are. And he loves me. And if that's not the case, if it so happens to be that that's not true, I don't think anybody else has to worry about me. God
right.
will deal with me at some
right.
point.
Right, exactly.
In all ways. So it really is not my concern about anybody else. As long
right.
as they're not, you know, hurting me or hurting someone I love, and then I'd have to try to step in. But however anyone chooses to live their life, it's, you know, it's nobody else's business.
And because God can deal with each of us individually and whatever our issues are. You start to say something.
The only thing I was going to say was that the thing is that I you know, knowing what we know, we have to share it.
Yes.
We have to get the word out.
Yes.
We have to get John 3:16 out
right.
to
yes.
our people
right.
as well as everybody else.
Yes.
I'm not singling out our community. I'm just saying that they're the ones that are underserviced.
Right. Right.
And those are the ones that we have the burden for because we know the truth.
Right.
And they need to see and hear the truth so that they can live free.
And you know, if we all understand that God loves all of us, and we may be different, but I find it so interesting in the story of Joseph and his brothers that, yes, Joseph was the spiritual one, quote unquote. He was the one that was receiving the wisdom from God, the dreams and all these things. The brothers, in fact, were doing some cruel things. Some of the things that the brothers did were pretty bad. Of course, throwing him in the pit and selling him is pretty bad. But other things that they did, and you find that in Genesis, some of the stuff that these brothers engaged in, wow. But through all that, we see in the book of Genesis how God loved the brothers just as much as he loved Joseph. Just because somebody else has a different life path than you, okay? Or just because somebody else has a different plan that God is working in their lives doesn't mean one is loved more than the other, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people buy the lie from the devil, well, God must love Susie over there more because look at her. She's got a better job than I have. Mm. I remember years ago, somebody said to me, you have three kids, and which one's your favorite? And I said, I don't have a favorite. It's not like that. I love them all. How can you love them all? I do. I just love them all. You know, and my three kids, you would not even imagine they came from the same two parents in the way they look and the way they act, the things they like to do and don't like to do. They are so different, all three of them. They don't look a thing alike. You would never pick them out in a crowd that they were brothers and sisters, right? Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And yet, I love them and their dad loves them just the same. And God loves us just the same, folks. I mean, it doesn't matter. Even these brothers who got into so much trouble and did so much evil, still, all through the story here, the brothers, God's got a plan for their lives. He's got a life plan for them, and they're walking that out, and they don't even know it. You want to comment on that?
It's, it's a hard concept to believe, I mean, in some ways, even though I believe it by faith that God loves us all the same because he made us all, we're all his children. But, of course, we see people that are, you know, are bad, you know, in the news, the people who murder and do terrible, terrible things. And we think to ourselves, well, how could God love them when they're behaving this way? But he does. And it's a thing that we have to believe by faith because it's just too much for our human minds,
It is.
You know, we don't, in some ways, I think selfishly, we don't want it to be true because we want somehow them to be punished. You know, we use that karma word a lot.
Right.
You know, it'll come back to you if you behave badly. And it may or may not. But really, I don't think it's karma. I think it's if someone chooses to do a bad act, they're making that choice right then and there
of how
their life is going to unfold. So, you know, we can probably, you know, take some solace maybe in knowing that, but it still doesn't matter. God loves them the same way he
Absolutely.
Loves me, you know, when I'm behaving good and sometimes when I'm not so good. And and it's hard, but we just have to kind of go by that. And if we could, you know, I don't think I could ever achieve it in this life, you know, to say I'm going to love everybody the same, all my earthly brothers and
sisters. I don't think humanly,
sisters.
Yeah.
But
I think it's different when you're a parent, though.
It, yeah. To remember it so that I'm always kind of aware so mm-hmm. that every day maybe I can say or do something a little bit better.
Right.
You know, just on those endless steps
right.
to wanting to be more like God.
Oh, amen. Woo. Yes. And here we have these brothers who had really messed up pretty darn bad, you know, by selling. And then they had to lie to their father and, you know, show him the coat that he had made for Joseph and with bloodstains, which they had killed an animal and put bloodstains. So just a whole lot of lies and deceit.
I guess they didn't have CSI then.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't have.
So
they couldn't tell that
it
wasn't human blood. Yeah, they just. Yeah. Good point, Connie. That's a good point. But, okay, so then we have the situation now where 22 years have passed. That's a long time.
That's a lot of heartache.
You know, we suffer sometimes. Of course, we suffer the results of our own actions. Like you were mm-hmm. talking about, we make bad choices. There are consequences to bad choices. And that doesn't mean God has done that to you. Mm-hmm. It just means that your actions cause consequences, you know. And so, you know, the actions of these brothers for 22 years, they had to live with that guilt. They had to live with that awareness that they had sold their brother and in their mind, they would never see their brother again. And he was probably dead. I mean, can you imagine, Connie, how they felt, how these brothers felt for 22 years? Do you think it ever left their minds what they had done?
I can't imagine that it could have.
Right.
Because you, no matter how angry you get at somebody, when they're gone, they're gone.
Right.
You know, and, you know, somebody may frustrate the crap out of you, but it's, you know, just breathe and walk away for a while or
right.
something. But, yeah, to actually kill him or
right.
what they did, put him in the line to be murdered or killed. And
then sold him into slavery, and then they had no clue where he went or what happened. Yeah. You know, it was just totally...
And slaves, I mean...
And didn't feel they'd ever see him again, I'm sure.
The first thing you think of when you think of slaves is not pleasant.
No.
It's not a, you know, cigars and cognac kind of life.
Right. That's exactly right. It's heavy, you know, duty yeah. labor, right?
Yeah.
And through all that, but, you know, that verse in Romans that says, be sure your sins will find you out. You know, it's so true that really did happen, that the brothers had to come to a day of reckoning, you know, eventually. And we all have that. We all have that time mm-hmm. that we have to come to that day of reckoning. And but here they are, and they've sold him into slavery, and now 22 years have passed. During those 22 years, however, and then we'll go back to this point we made earlier, Joseph's life was blessed. Everything he did was blessed. He became the head servant in Potiphar's home, and he was way up there, a high official in the government of Egypt. And then when he was thrown into prison for false accusation, like we said earlier, he was the head of the prisoners. You know, I mean, come on. You know, everything that he
did. He had leadership qualities, obviously.
Did he have leadership qualities? That was his motivation.
Everybody recognized him.
Exactly. And so there he is, and all of this is happening to him. And 22 years have passed, and then there's these dreams that Pharaoh has, that Joseph interprets. And there we are, right there, at a, what we like to call around Beacon of Hope, a suddenly moment. Right, Connie? What's mm-hmm. a suddenly moment?
It's an aha, or a point in time where when you read suddenly, you know something's going to be good after that.
Right. You see it all through the book of Acts. Suddenly this, and then God did this, you know, suddenly. And so often we think there's never going to be a suddenly moment in our lives, that it happens to other people. And back to Mary, our friend in Indiana, who was in my church that I pastored up there as a teenager. And in fact, my daughter Lori's one of her very best friends. And on Monday, the word was that there wasn't a thing the doctors could do for her any longer. She had clots around her heart. They were not dissolving. She was on life support. They tried to take her off. They couldn't. They had to put her back on. They said that she really needed another surgery, but they couldn't do it. And so the report was pretty dismal, wasn't it, on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
It really
whose
was.
Whose report do you believe?
There you go. And then, whose report do you believe is what she said.
Yeah.
And then on Tuesday, when her mother, Donna, was in the waiting room sleeping, taking a nap, in just a period of about an hour to an hour and a half, she said, the nurse came and got her and said, you need to come talk to your daughter. And she said, well, I've been talking to my daughter. And she said, no, you need to come talk to your daughter and don't let her talk too long. And she said, ma'am, she can't talk. She's on ventilator, life support. She can't talk. She said, I think you need to come with me. And by the time she got to the room, and I bet when you read this on the praise report, Madeline, what were you doing? Were you just jumping and hollering?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Tell them what happened.
And you know what? It's kind of funny, though, because I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked that it was so quick. I wasn't shocked that it happened at all. I just expected it. I really did in that instance. I mean, it's not always like that, but I really expected
your faith,
it with her.
Your faith was up there, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
I don't know why or how.
And
it was,
I think we should pray. We pray expecting him to answer us.
Yes.
Just like, and I think that's what you were doing. When we talked the other day about how you had such a burden for her.
It was something that, and it's something I had been reading about a little bit, and you know, and not really had experience in this way, that I just felt I had to pray for this woman. And I mean, and I prayed in tongues, and it was just intense. It was
intense,
you know,
prayer.
It was God fueled.
Yes.
Because it wasn't me.
Right.
I didn't know how to do all this. It just
and God can do that. Put that burden on us for certain people, certain situations. And when that happens, you need to really step up to the plate and go with it, right?
Yeah.
And really get in there and pray and believe God.
I didn't have a choice. It wasn't like, oh, gosh, Lord, I don't have time for this now, so could you call on somebody else? Or I just did it because, I mean, it was just a passion inside of me that I wanted, this woman needs to be here.
Amen. In fact, compassion is what it was, because compassion is seeing a need, but there's two parts to compassion. A lot of people can see a need and not, there's a need. But when you see the need and have the desire to do something about it, that's compassion. Okay? And it's different than love. It's really seeing that need, but wanting to do something about it. And it says all through the Gospels, Jesus was continually moved by compassion. So how did he heal the sick? Compassion just welled up within him, and he reached out and did what he needed to do for that person right then. And that's really what you were doing the other day, Madeline, and all of our prayer team for Mary. And so the listening audience, here's what happened. Doctors came in and saw that she was more responsive, saw that she was coming out of a coma. They tried to take her off life support, and it worked. She stayed off of life support. She'd had several strokes. Her whole right side was paralyzed. Today, we can report that she's moving her leg, her right leg. She's moving her toes. She's moving her hands. And she's speaking fine. She's taking medication. And she is progressing very steadily. And it's all the glory of God to the glory of God. And it's the suddenly moment that happened.
Didn't the doctor say that too?
The doctor told Donna Friday, and she called me and she said, you got to tell your church. She said, he used the word miracle over and over again, that this is a miracle. We did not expect her to do this. This is a miracle. She should have died. This is a miracle. I want you to know this is a miracle, that he kept using that word. I mean, praise God. That doesn't get you happy. I don't know what does.
What does
he
teach us? You can't have a miracle without an impossibility.
Absolutely. Because a miracle, if it were possible in the natural, that's not a miracle. It's not the definition of a miracle. That would just be a commonplace event. You know, but a miracle is when you have an impossibility. So some of you out there in our listening audience need to believe God for your miracle today. And later on in the show, we will pray for you. And we are believing God for the miracles. And Joseph must have been believing God for a miracle where his family was concerned and the restoration of that family unit. I really believe that. I believe that God honored the faith of Joseph, 22 years of it. And that he didn't know how God was going to do it. Now, this is where God recently corrected me, and he said, you know, you keep trying to figure me out. I didn't really like that when he said that to me. You keep trying to, but he was right on. He said, you keep trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. Okay? Well, if this happens, then that's going to happen. And he said, I want you to quit trying to figure out how and just thank me that I am doing it before you ever see it. That's the answer right there. Quit trying to figure out how. And in our natural minds, we want to know, well, God, are you going to do it this way? Or are you going to do it that way? Want to comment on that, Con?
Yeah. I don't think, you know, if we thought it was going to be one way, he'd do it a different way just so he could show that he is going to be in control.
That he's in control, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we just waste so much time.
Right.
Thinking of, you know, not stupid things, but kind of stupid things.
Right.
Things that are out of our control.
Well our mind starts going those directions, you know?
It's our humanness.
Yeah.
And we just got to let go of it and just let him do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I recently was in a meeting, and I wasn't really sure how the meeting was going to go, and... You know, that probably that was one of the biggest meetings it was a meeting that I spent the biggest time, longest time praying over.
Okay.
And when the meeting started, everybody in the meeting was just very anxious and very uptight, not sure how things were going to go. And just as it started, I could almost see God orchestrating the whole thing.
Right.
And all of a sudden there was a peace. I had such a peace that just came over me. My shoulders relaxed. I just kind of sat there, and I actually like just leaned back in my chair and put my feet up.
Yeah.
On the stool.
Yeah.
And everything was just amazing.
And that's the God we serve. And that's that suddenly right there, that suddenly moment where he comes and brings peace, where he comes and brings wisdom for the whatever situation you're in. Madeline, you want to comment on all of that?
You know, opening yourself up to hearing God is you know, kind of the key that I think that a lot of us just need to try. Because, and again, I still say all this stuff isn't easy. You know, sometimes I'm home and sometimes I'm real comfortable and I don't want to start all that praying and stuff because, you know, it's, you know, it takes some energy where I could just sit here and mindlessly stare at the TV or something.
Oh, that's a huge point right there. That is huge, what you just said. And I think that's where the devil wraps us up. Nothing against TV. Mm-hmm. I love to lose myself in a ball game or whatever. But when God is speaking to our heart to get active and pray, is exactly when the devil doesn't want us to do it, because the devil knows that if we spend that time in intercession and prayer, the situation is going to break wide open and we're going to have a suddenly moment. Mm-hmm. And the devil does not want us doing that. You want to comment on that, Connie?
He can't stand it. He can't stand to see us win.
If that's
again,
right.
Again and again. And rub it in his face.
You're so right.
Loser.
Yes, loser. Matt, yeah, we know the end of the book, right? We know that Satan is a defeated foe forever and ever and cast into the lake of fire forever.
We need to live every day knowing that he is defeated.
Absolutely,
Connie. Instead of starting out and having a, you know, we start out, we wake up and we're in a bad mood because maybe we didn't sleep or we get up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever.
Well, we had to wake up. We
had to get up and go to work.
Sooner than we wanted to.
You know, and so, no pointing fingers. And instead live life like he wants us to live.
Yes.
It. Live it.
Well, you
be
wake
there.
Up in the morning and you say, okay, God, I've been trying to do this for months and months now, and it is working. God, I don't know what today's going to bring, but I know that I'm walking by you with you hand in hand. We're going to get done what you want done for the kingdom of God today. And all I ask is that you speak to me and let me know what steps to take, where, who to talk to, whatever. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Matt.
I like one time you had said, we have to get up, you know, and the first thing we should do is, good morning, Lord, and thank you for today and all this. And so the devil will say, oh, boy, she's up.
Yes.
She's up and she's happy. And I love that.
Yes.
I love the thought of that. And I do that. That's the first thing I try to do every morning. First, sometimes I lay there for a minute and as my brain cells try to restart, you know, in my zone. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm up and thank you for today. And I start my prayer because I'm thinking, how bad can the day go if I'm going to start it off with prayer? And also to offset the devil, because he likes to do things like, you know, spill my coffee cup on me in the morning,
or drop a glass,
or, you know, start making messes so that I get irritated. And I think that's how he works in me, because he knows that's something I don't like.
You know, I
don't like
that.
All that
puts,
dropping
he
stuff.
Put somebody
starts.
In front of you in the car, you know, pulls, cut you off in
yeah,
the park
yeah.
in
traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really have to work hard to catch myself from saying things to people.
Saying the wrong traffic. Things.
Oh, in traffic.
Yeah, the wrong things. And, you know, or my hand gestures only consist of this.
Praising God, yeah.
Well, or like if somebody pulls in front of me, I just go, really?
Yeah.
I give them the fingers.
Peace?
The peace sign. That's
okay.
What I do now.
Yeah, I don't do
so
the
often
signals.
What happens to me is I spill something. I'm like my Diet Coke, because that's all I drink in the morning, but my Diet Coke right down my shirt, and I'm on my way to an appointment. It's just so irritating to have to pull off, find some water or get some water, clean up my shirt, try to dry out before I go see the client. You know, it just has happened so many times I can't begin to tell you. But it's just the devil knows the little things to get to us, guys.
Right.
He really does. So we have to have a life of praise by casting crowns.
Lift my hands. awesome. God of the nation, the Lion of Judah, Rock of the ages, Alpha Omega, worthy of all praise. More than these hands are raised, you're worthy of my praise.
Whoa, I love that song, Casting Crowns, what a concert you went to Friday night, and that is a great song, and I've never heard it. Life of Praise. And we're amazed because Connie's our musical director for the radio show, and I just give her a theme, and I don't even know where we're going, and we just always let the Holy Spirit just lead. And it just seems like our conversation always comes up right where it should be for that song. And that's all God. That's just the Holy Spirit. Woo! So, when we talk about the events in our lives that seem so painful and hurtful, okay, and we all have them, and we all look and we say, wow, and we look at Joseph's life and how he could have become bitter, don't you think, Madeline?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just being, sold into slavery. And having to leave his homeland with his father and his brothers and being sold into a place that didn't know where he was going, didn't know that God was going to bless every place he went. But he had such a trust, an abiding trust in God,
I can only imagine, with a lot of stories that we read in the Bible, that these people could have come through the unbelievable situations that they're put in. I mean, there has to be that kind of faith. And I think, that's all part of God's plan. Everything that went on, with Joseph,
absolutely,
he knew how that was going to turn out.
Absolutely.
He knew he was the one to choose,
yes,
to put him in those situations so that all of that could turn around for his glory.
Yes.
And there's no other way to do it. And it's no different for us. I mean, in our own personal lives,
right,
that's really the only way I know how to get through when things are just, seeming as low and dark as they can be.
Right.
If I didn't have God to lean on, and my church family, of course, I mean, you use all the resources you have, but without that, faith, I don't know what people do.
I agree.
Have it. I don't know what they do.
It's got to be so alarming and such a sense of alone, loneliness, without God there helping you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 in the Message Bible. I put it in the front of one of my books that I wrote, my second book. Mm-hmm. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Boy, I think Joseph must have been living this, trying to figure it out on our own, like we were talking about a few minutes ago. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. That's right there.
It says it all right there. Trusting God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. But boy, don't we try to figure it all out. And I mean, who can fault Joseph if he was sitting there, in the caravan going to Egypt going, oh no, what's going to happen to me? But I think the years and everything that happened proved that Joseph had a heart after God, even if he had moments of, I wonder what's going to happen. Go ahead.
Well, God gave us the ability to choose. And so, he wants us to have situations where we can try to do everything of our own accord and sit and try to figure it out and then at some point become frustrated and where you almost have to turn over God because there's nothing left for you to do. Or we could do it the easy way where from the beginning we turn it over, but that's hard. I mean, and he knows that he made us this way.
Right.
And that we have to come through our struggles. And
exactly.
Because without them, we're not going to get to that point where someday you say, oh, wait a minute, I can go all get stressed and crazy and lose my mind, or I can just, turn to God right now and hopefully little by little we learn that and it's okay.
And the sooner we learn that, don't you think, the better the rest of our lives is going to be. Connie, what did you start to say to that?
The sooner we learn how it's supposed to work, the easier our life's going to be.
Right.
Because
right.
You can, like Madeline says, you can do this and do it this way and that way and this way, and then finally decide to come back and say, okay, you do it.
Right. And don't you think maybe that those 22 years, the brothers, well, we have accounts of some of the stuff the brothers were up to, and it wasn't very good. They were, some evil stuff was going on. The brothers were not living godly lives. So, you know, it's like their effort to just make life the way they wanted it and indulge whatever they wanted to do. And yet God had never left the brothers. I love this. God was absolutely in control of Joseph's life. You can tell that by the blessing of the Lord that was upon Joseph and how Joseph always gave God the credit and the glory and said, this was God that gave you the interpretation. Joseph never said, when they asked like the cupbearer and the baker, you know, to give him the interpretations for their dreams, they said, we hear you can interpret dreams. And he said, God does that. He said, God does that. This comes from God, you know, and Joseph was quick to always give the glory to God, and that is what we have to do. What do you?
Well, I was thinking about a bunch of different things all at once, all mishmash.
All right, just mishmash them into mashed potatoes.
Let's hope for the best. One thing I was thinking is that, you know, 22 years later, sometimes over the years, when you live a godly life or you try to do what's best for you, using God as your guide, you learn about forgiveness.
Right.
And so he's had all these years to forgive and to think about. And, you know, I think there's also a time where when you're away from your family, whether it's just distance or whether it's distance in emotions, there's a point where there's a drawing on your heart to get back together with that.
Connect with your family. Mm-hmm. Whether that be your birth family or the family of God.
Right.
There is that drawing to be with the family.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. To belong. It's a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
And to just get back where you feel accepted and you know, a part of something.
Right. Exactly. And that is what, you know, happened.
Because I was thinking about how he kind of played with the brothers a little bit, you know, put them through a little bit of, not really torture, but he used his authority.
Right.
Not in a mean way, not how they used him, but, you know, he used his authority to do things, but he did good things for them too.
Yes, yes.
But he just wanted to, he was testing them to see where they were at spiritually.
And, oh, God does that. He allows those tests and trials to come to see where we are. Madeline, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I was thinking, too, I got a little bit of a mishmash in there, too. Out of
mashed potatoes. See, and we made 15 pounds yesterday.
Is that all we had?
15 pounds of mashed potatoes yesterday.
Holly did a fantastic job smashing them potatoes.
Man, those good mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Milo liked them too.
Yeah, they're great.
I'm glad.
We're still eating.
I'm glad he finally got some food.
Poor thing. All right.
Where is Milo? He's running around here in the studio. He's asleep. Okay.
I was thinking that, even when we know what we're supposed to do, a lot of times we might behave badly. And I know that too. Sometimes when I'm feeling my emotions, my not so happy emotions, I might say things I don't want to say or regret later. And, you know, just don't, I don't censor myself. And I, you know, I just let things fly. And, you know, I'm really grateful that God allows me to do that and then be forgiven for that. Because that happens a lot. And I think that people sometimes are afraid that it's too late. I've done this too many times. I've done the wrong things too many times. Right. Used up your chances. And maybe you do with people. I mean, that's possible that people aren't going to forgive you. And that's, you know, that's very possible. But God will. And I just say I'm grateful for that because I've made a lot of mistakes and I will continue to. And I hope to do better. That's my plan. But but I'm glad that he's still there and I can still go to him even if my, you know, earthly brothers and sisters, you know, may not forgive me. I'm grateful that he does and he allows me to try
Madeline,
again.
Madeline, we forgive you today for anything and everything you've ever done.
What did I do?
No, but you know, that's such a good point. All of this. We're talking nitty-gritty here about life when so often life happens and we do find ourselves doing things we shouldn't do. We find ourselves with attitudes we shouldn't have. We find ourselves slipping into unbelief or disobedience or sin in some area of our lives, worry and anxiety and all those things that God says, hey, don't do that. And we find ourselves doing that, and then we are expected by the Lord to come to a point of correcting ourselves, basically. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit does it in such a beautiful way. And he's so tender. I love it. And he's just kind of like, really? Is that the attitude you should have right there? Really?
Is that really what you should have said?
Is that really it? You know? And I don't know about you, Con, but when I hear that from the Holy Spirit, and I'm just like, oh.
It happens really frequently now. I mean,
really?
You know,
really?
I mean, not that I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just that I'm more in tune, and I really try not to be that way, but there are just some people that just bother me.
Hmm. True confessions.
Yeah.
And so when we have attitudes or feelings that we know are not what God would want us to have.
Yeah. He wouldn't want me to have these.
Right. The Holy Spirit comes and he says, you know, cool it there. Mm-hmm. You know, really?
Yeah. Back it off.
And we've been talking and saying that word a lot today, really? I think. And when we hear the Holy Spirit saying that, really, why did you do that? No, mm-hmm. You don't want to think like that. We have a responsibility right then to repent mm-hmm. and settle mm-hmm. it. So that we can continue to move in God's mercy and grace, and so we can have more of these suddenly moments, which are so wonderful. We're going to talk more about this in our next hour. We're glad you've tuned in today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Connie has email up now. You can write us right now in the studio. Use my email, my personal email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can jot a little note. You can comment on what we're talking about. You can ask a question, anything you want to. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Also, we were talking about our services. We welcome you to join us Wednesday nights for Bible study. Wild time, great time studying the Word. This Wednesday night, we're in Boot Camp Basics right now with Pastor Jim. And this Wednesday night, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be powerful.
Wow.
And y'all need to be here there. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us at 7 o'clock, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. For our Bible study, we precede that with a powerful prayer meeting starting about 6:15, and you're all welcome. Station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And welcome to all our listeners that are listening on the radio stations just mentioned, and also that tune in on the World Wide Web. And it's so good. The web address, if you're listening on the radio right now, you can switch over to tantalk1340.com, www.tantalk1340.com. And you can actually see us in the studio, and you can get a great, great connection there. So,
great connection.
Sunday morning at 10, wild service. Ooh. Madeline, what happens at Sunday
weird,
morning
wild
at
stuff.
10? At Beacon of Hope.
We start our service with cool praise and worship. We get to play music for, what is it, about 30 minutes, maybe?
40, usually.
30, 40 minutes. And and that just starts off, the service in such a great way. You know, the music is wonderful. And then we have a wonderful word from God through you. And just great, you know, time together. And we never know where the service is going to go after. You know, that happens, might be some healing and just all kinds of, you know, prayer time. And then maybe we spend time together after a little bit for lunch or.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun.
It's a great time. And then every Sunday we're here live on the radio station. So the radio team, generally speaking, kind of hangs out together between the service and the radio show. So it's really cool.
We have had our second Thanksgiving dinner today.
That was yes. Leftovers from yesterday. Golly.
So
this is not good for
full.
Yes, absolutely.
More tryptophan.
Wow.
Oh, no, we didn't have any turkey.
That's
no turkey.
Correct.
Yeah, wow. I tell you, it's just such a blessing to be a part of a body of believers. We have so much fun. Connie, have you seen so much happen? You've been a part of Beacon of Hope for about 7 or 8 years now. And through all, there's been hard times, haven't there?
Well, yeah, you know, there are people that come and they come for a little while and then they leave. And, you know, for whatever reason, personal or whatever, they leave. Some of them come back. Some of them come back eventually. And, you know, we just have, you were counting up, we have as many regulars as we have had new people come this year. So
we've doubled this year.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what God is doing. And, you know, it's really because we're a family, the family of God. We're very diverse. We mentioned some of that earlier. But we're diverse in a lot of ways in the congregation by age. We got this whole new crew of young people coming in, don't we, Terry? Yeah, you're one of them singing on the praise team. And I think you're all of 20-something. And, you know,
all we know,
which
she's
is
less
close.
Than 30.
Yeah, well, kind of close to you and Icon in age there. Yeah.
We're just decade older.
Yeah. You know, but it's just the diversity is good. It's really fun.
I'm not sure why she's falling out of her chair.
Who knows? Who knows? And you know, having all those people, so many yesterday at the house, my house for the dinner, it was just fun, wasn't it, Madeline? Just hanging out and playing games and being silly.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, I've never been part of a church like this, and that's what I love about it, you know, is you feel like you have a church, you have a family, you have friends, you have all this kind of camaraderie that is, you know, I really look forward to it.
It's more than just going to church for an hour once a week, and you don't know anybody, you slip in, sit down, leave. It's nothing like that, is it?
Right, and we have Wednesday Bible study, and we have, you know, faithful leaders.
Right.
Sometimes we've just took a break from that, but that'll start up again in January, and just all kinds of opportunities to learn, which is, and you know, and come together in a lot of ways we do when we do activities and such.
And this live radio show that we've been doing now, we're in our fifth year, is so fun because, and believe it or not, folks, we enjoy every minute of this. It is not drudgery.
No.
I mean, I don't get to see a football game, a particular football game, the 4-7 game on Sundays. But you know what? The Bucks haven't been on forever anyway, and they lose. But
today.
We still love them, you know. We still love them, but you know, I don't know. But anyway, it's not drudgery. Is what I'm trying to say. It's not a task.
It's not a chore.
It's a joy.
No, and I'd gladly give up football to come and do this.
Yes, amen.
You know?
To be able, so we give thanks today at Thanksgiving season for this opportunity of our radio show.
The bottom line is what are you doing that's benefiting anything by sitting on your butt watching TV?
Right. So you might as well be doing.
Mm-hmm.
God's Kingdom Work.
Mm-hmm.
Give Thanks by Mylon Lefevre.
Say I am whole. Let the bound say I am free.
Great song. Wonderful song. Straight out of the scripture. Give thanks. Let the weak say I'm strong. Come on, let's make that our faith confession. Let the poor say I am rich. In other words, start saying what the word says about you instead of what the devil and other people may be saying about you. And that is your answer. When you're weak, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling sick and just, you know, a mess, whatever your situation may be, let's start believing what the word says about you instead of what the devil says about you. We are in Genesis. We are talking about the life of Joseph and his brothers. We are in a series, Being Blessed Beyond, and we're glad you're joining us today. We are kind of running around in Genesis 43, 44, someplace around in there. And we're not doing word by word today. We're talking about kind of the broader concepts of this whole story. And I want to talk for just a minute about the things that happened to Joseph and his brothers, where his brothers had to go to Egypt. They were sent by their father to go to Egypt and get food. And of course, the person in charge of all the food in Egypt was their brother Joseph that they had sold into slavery. I mean, how God set that up. I mean, and I love to say this, and I'll just say it. There are no coinky dinkies with God, okay? There are no coincidences with God. Madeline, explain that concept. Will I get a drink of water, please?
Well, I mean, that, you know, in that circumstance, it's so clear that it was his plan. I mean, it was orchestrated. You see it from beginning to end, how it was set up. And, you know, it was coming full circle. And God was giving everybody a chance to come back together. And it's really a great story. When you break it down and look at all those parts like that, and you just see how it worked out, it's incredible.
Well, it just reminds you that God has a plan for our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11-14, Connie, on the first show, that your favorite, that mm-hmm. very first show that you and Nathan were on here 4.5 years ago, April of 07, we used that as our theme for this show. Mm-hmm. And it is where,
For I know the plans I have for you.
Just slipped my
plans to prosper, not to harm.
Right. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Mm-hmm. That's what God says about each of us. He has a plan. Madeline, I think it's so hard for people to jump on board with God's plan for them. And you want to give us a couple reasons why people resist. Maybe part of it is ignorance. They don't know that God has a plan for them. Maybe that's part of it. But go ahead.
I think that's part of it. I think it's, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you, you know, love God and believe God, you know, we feel like we have control of our lives. You know, it's just like how people say they, you know, like I, in particular, don't really like flying because I feel like I'm out of control. Whereas when I'm in my car, I feel like I'm in control. And we know that's not real.
Right.
It's just a feeling we have. So I think it's like that with our lives, too. We think we get up every day. We have our routines. We have our things we do. So it feels like we've got a handle on it. But really, it's just about the choices we make. And if we decide that if I know in my head God's got a plan for me, so I don't know what it is, right? So I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to have to listen for him. I have to pray. I'm going to have to get quiet so that I can let him guide me. Because I don't have to do that. I can just go around and, you know, do all my stuff and you know, see what happens. And I kind of already have done that on occasions. And it's not usually the best results.
Exactly.
So if I can open myself up to that, you know, and actually participate in it and follow it, I bet you anything at the end of our lives, just like we're looking at Joseph's life now, we will see all of that too.
We'll
circle of circumstances
video
were planned out. You know, maybe there'll be little niches in it where we went off course because
right.
that was us.
Yes.
Know? But mm-hmm. you know, ultimately, unless we really stray big far, we'll get back on track.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead.
Today on the way to church, I left kind of early this morning because I woke up early, and I noticed that almost every couple of blocks there was some kind of accident.
Oh wow!
Oh, that happened to me too.
And when I came down Del Mabry,
and that was early this morning, like 8:30.
It was like 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, it was just after 8.
Wow.
At Hillsboro.
I just told you about
this.
She
did. Madeline just told me about that accident.
When I looked. There was a wreck up close to where I live just it was just a fender bender. But this one looked like a major deal
that
because
was bad.
This Cadillac was in the middle of those woods, mm-hmm. and the truck was off to the side. So I don't, you know, sometimes I used to, you know, I just started praying for whoever was involved. And then I started thinking, or I was thinking just before I saw it, was that, you know, there's so many times that, you know, we call them accidents.
Right. Yeah.
And then down a little bit farther was another one. And, but the, you know, I started thinking about accidents. They're not really accidents.
Right.
They're either situations where God needs to get our attention.
Right.
Or, you know, something's not right. Satan's doing something mm-hmm. or whatever, or just God just allows something to happen because we're on the wrong path.
Right.
And we need to be kind of pulled up by, you know, a little wedgie or something. But,
right.
And I was, you know, and I was thinking as I was driving, you know, we feel like we're in control driving a car. We feel like we're in control.
Yeah.
Because I can, you know, move in and out of lanes, move this, and this car's going too slow, so I go around and do this and that. But the bottom line is that he is up there clearing the path.
Right.
And if the path's not clear by him, boom.
And that's so true. I mean, and then we get into all kinds of messes, mm-hmm. you know. Now, Joseph could have stayed resentful mm-hmm. and unforgiving and bitter through the 22 years and thinking, my brothers, if I ever see them again, I'm going to let them have it. You know, it could have had that kind of attitude. And sadly, a lot of people go through life like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've known a lot of people who can recount every offense that's ever happened to them, that they can articulate, well, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that, and then that happened, and rah, 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 and they become bitter old bags, like we've talked about, mm-hmm. you know, where they just don't.
The obese.
Yeah. Instead of living, being blessed beyond their bitter old bags, mm-hmm. you know, and it's our choice, you know, and Joseph here made the choice all through those years to be good at everything he did, and everything he put his hand to prospered, and he was the best house steward that there ever could be for Potiphar, and regardless of being falsely accused, he was the best in the jail. Mm-hmm. Then when he was promoted and the second in the land in Egypt, I mean, second only to Pharaoh himself, had Pharaoh's ring on his hand, wore the robes, had all of the big gold pendant, was in fact the one in charge, you know, kind of like mm-hmm. the prime minister of England, you know, and the way that system's set up in the queen, mm-hmm. you know, and was really like in charge of all this. He could have said, all right, now I got my power. I'm going to go do something to my brothers. I am going to retaliate. I am going to see what I can do here. Instead, his attitude was, I believe, just saying, God, I really want an opportunity to make this right and, you know, and to see my brothers again and to hold them in my arms. Go ahead, Madeline.
Well, I mean, that's right. And that, I think that's very, very hard for people to do. That's the hardest thing. When we feel hurt and wronged and angry because of, you know, like you said earlier, Connie, family, people abandoning us, people purposely hurting us, you know, the horrible things that go on in the world, people kill your family, you know, all of that. I mean, when you think about that, you can understand why it would be so hard. And we always say forgive, and we want, and that's what God wants from us, because we want that from him. And it can only be full circle. You can't have his forgiveness and then hold grudges. But, you know, I mean, I think we just have to really understand this is the hardest thing we face, I think, on earth. And, you know, we have to strive for that. And we're not going to do it perfectly. We have to try to do it the best we can. Because people say, I know I've said it, you know, forgiving is easy. So you ask my forgiveness and I can forgive you, of course. But now I have to truly, I mean, not forget, because we have minds and information is in there. But walk out that forgiveness. Remember every day that I gave you that forgiveness, and now I have to live it. I can't make you
live up to your word,
because you couldn't pay. If you tried to give me money for the hurt, if you try, you couldn't do it. There's nothing that's going to level that out. So, in order for me, I mean, I have to think of it for myself. In order for me to live my life without ugly bitterness, And I want that. And I have a hard time with that sometimes. Sometimes it's not so, you know.
You mean living your life without all that baggage, right?
I don't want to carry. That is
all
that
those
is
suitcases.
Heavy. That is, and that just continues
to
keep
yeah.
things negative. It just, you bring it forward and then you add more on and, you know, people see it and they respond to that, you know, and it's
they can
just
see it
so,
on your face.
So bad.
They can
it's
see
so bad.
It. Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's hard. And I mean, I know I still struggle with a few things and I am really wanting to conquer that. And I know that God will help me to do it. He has before, you know, but life still happens and more stuff happens. And I have to just trust him that he's going to show me that.
Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding.
And then, like Joseph, he rewards you. It may not be big. You know, it's not always going to be, oh, I'm going to get riches and titles, and that's okay. But I'm going to get rewards in my life that every day
yes.
I'm going to be happy.
Yes.
I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to have friends. I'm going to have love in my life. And, you know, just surrounded by goodness. And that, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't have more than that.
You can't pay a price for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no price.
Yeah.
To
Yeah.
You know, when you were talking about how we do things to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything that we do as if we're doing it for God.
Absolutely.
If we, you know, that's how we're supposed to, that's our goal. But it's not something I can measure up to very well.
Well, but what we're saying here, we're all being very vulnerable and honest and saying that we all struggle with mm-hmm. times of being hurt and being and saying, God, I don't know how I'm ever going to treat so-and-so right again after what they've done, or I don't know how I'm going to respond correctly in this next situation or a work situation or whatever the case may be. But what we're saying here also is that God gives us grace,
mm-hmm.
and grace is his unmerited favor. And he actually gives us the ability to comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with, to give peace to people, to give them hope. As we give all of those things away, we get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the karma thing comes in. As we mm-hmm. give the blessings away, as look what Joseph did. As Joseph blessed his brothers, and instead of saying, I want all these guys taken out and hung up by their bootstraps and killed, I want them, you know, instead of doing that, Joseph blessed them every step of the way. And Joseph is a type of Jesus. In fact, it's so cool because the ministry of Joseph there in Egypt, where he became second in the land, started when he was 30 years old.
Huh.
Okay, and that Jesus ministry on earth started at age 30. And Joseph was sold into slavery at age 17, okay? So it was age 39 before he saw any of this started happening with his brothers. So from 17 to 39 is the 22-year span. So during that, that's from age 17 to 30 when he began to actually reign over Egypt. During that time, it was a whole period of some of it good in Potiphar's house, but a lot of it in prison. And a lot of times of having to really say, God, I don't know how you're going to bring all this together in my life. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm trusting you that you see the big picture. You got the plan, you know? I love the fact that David started to reign over Israel at age 30. Jesus started his ministry at age 30. 30 is the number for anointing and ability to rule is what that number means, okay? And then we see Joseph here as a type, because God always in the Old Testament brings us these types and shadows of what's coming, okay? So Joseph was a type of Jesus back at age 30. Here now he's reigning. You know, now he's in charge, and now he's got more opportunity to really deal with the very people who have hurt him the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes those that have hurt us the worst go on and they're dead before we ever come to our senses. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with that, Madeline?
You mean if we don't have a chance to reconcile?
Because there may be some of our listeners out there that said, you know, I wish I knew this prior to my mother passing or this happening or that happening.
Well, you know, I think you have to believe that. It was a lesson to be learned. I think you have to learn to forgive yourself through those situations. You have to believe that God wanted it that way and that maybe you will have a chance to reconcile. And actually you do. I mean, certainly through him.
Yes.
But it's a lesson to move forward with and live your life maybe differently because
Good point.
It. And we don't always get a chance, not necessarily from our own fault. It just may be circumstantial that it doesn't work out that way. But you have to believe that's all lessons for us. It's all things that we have to experience. It's hurts that are going to get us to the next level. And, you know, that's the hard part. You know, it's the hard parts of life, you know, but if nothing else, we have to remember if there is something we can do now, okay, that happened. What is in my life now that I can try to reconcile in the best way you can? You don't always get to reconcile with the people.
Right.
But you can reconcile it with yourself and with God. And
exactly.
then show maybe that grace to somebody else.
Oh,
so
amen.
That, you know, it's kind of, you know, in a way sort of paying it forward or around, you know, just keep that glory for God through somebody else because
Amen.
It's difficult. It's difficult.
It is. Connie, do you have a comment to all that?
Well, I have a friend that she died about 7 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and Tuesday is going to be her birthday.
Oh, wow.
So, I feel not responsible, but I feel bad because I felt like I should have done more to help her get back on track.
Yeah.
And so, she never did anything bad to me. We were very good friends for a very long time. And, you can't help but wonder, you know, she's already gone. And
that can be painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we do is we just simply say, God, you got to bring all these details together in our lives for your glory. And I ask you, Connie, to put this song on. It's one yes. of my all-time favorites. It's Natalie Grant and Wynonna. And it is it's a slamming song where you got to clap and get involved.
We might have to learn this for Beacon.
I think,
maybe.
Aaron, have you ever heard this song, Aaron?
I don't know what it's called.
Bring It All Together by Natalie Grant and Wynonna.
Maybe
you guys can share the headphones over there. I want her to hear this, and Terry, maybe you can help her look it up. Here we go, Bill.
I hear you say that you can't go on, 'cause you had it all and watched it fall away. You feel betrayed, 'cause everything's gone wrong. Can't find the strength to hope for a better day. We may not understand the reasons, but I know his promise will never change. Ooh. He's gonna take your pain, he's gonna take your doubt, bring it all together, bring it all together. Gonna make you happy, he's gonna make you laugh out loud, yeah. He's gonna bring it all together, bring it all together for good.
Say you're living your life, doing the best you can, wondering if the struggle means anything. If you realized that it's in his hands, you'll find the peace that sweet surrender brings. Well, we may not understand the reason, well, I know his promise will never. Bring it all together, bring it all together, gonna make you happy.
Die. That's one of our favorite songs.
Sounds
on
like one
the good
of our
life.
Wild church services.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And Aaron, can you learn it? You can do it. Sure. All right. Yeah. Piece of cake. You got to come to Beacon and hear that. That was Michelle Cardinal's favorite song, mm-hmm. and we miss mm-hmm. her. She's not on the team anymore, but we miss her, and she always loved that song, Bring It All Together.
I love
Bring
that
It All Together
Natalie
for Good.
Natalie Grant has some of the best songs.
Man, no yes.
Lie. She is
see
phenomenal.
My, see,
it's so
see
good.
My neighbors.
Woo. Yes,
that's
great, great song. So anyway, we're glad you're joining us here on Living the Good Life. And we are talking about that God does have a master plan. And, you know, here again, that's a theme we're developing in this show today and wasn't planned. Obviously, we let the Holy Spirit lead. And that song just says it right there, doesn't it? Bring it all together for good. Mm-hmm. God's going to bring it all together. He's going to make you happy. He's going to provide a source for you to really learn of him, whether it's in a local congregation or however you find it. You need to get in tune with that and be a part of God's plan for your mm-hmm. life. And maybe some of you are in situations where you need to make a change, maybe a work situation or a friendship change, or I don't know. God's going to bring it all together for you if you surrender to his plan. That's what it's all about, surrendering to his plan. Madeline, you got to comment on that. I mean, what does that song do to you?
Well,
I mean, it just makes
song.
Me want to shout and scream, man.
She's one of my favorites.
Woo! Wynonna and Natalie.
Just think of your life as just a big, it made me think of a big puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, all these pieces, some are in perfect shape, some are in not so good shape, some are maybe missing, you know, some of the color, so you don't know where it fits, and just, you know, God knows, thank God, he knows, and he's going to take care of us, you know, we just have to give it to him, and it's not always easy, because we want to clutch all that, and wait, I can't let go, because, you know, I know what I want, and I know how I want it to be, and I do. But I know that God knows what's best for me, and I just have to trust that he's going to help me get all that together. Good,
amen.
Good details, bad details, all of it.
Absolutely. And it's just a matter of trust. It's a matter mm-hmm. of learning to walk that way on a daily basis. We talked earlier, Connie, about suddenly. You know, when we are following along on a daily basis and doing everything that we know to do in our situation, like Joseph was, you know, you got to think that Joseph was thinking, one of these days my brothers are going to show up because there's a famine in the land. And he was everybody had to come to him for food. So he was in a position of absolutely, if his brothers came, he would have to run into them. Don't you think that he would wake up in the morning going, is this today, God, that I'm going to see my brothers? You know, because we know he had a heart of compassion towards them. Mm-hmm. And then there's this suddenly moment, like we were talking about earlier in the show with our dear Mary up in Indiana, who is suddenly, miraculously touched of God Tuesday morning of this week and is on the mend now, coming back from death's door. Connie, these suddenly moments, talk to me about that, because you say that word to me all the time, and you have for 8 years. You just say that word suddenly all the time. What's it mean to you?
To me, it means, well, look what I can do.
From
God.
God can do.
It's God saying, look what I can do. If you just give me the chance, this is what I can do for you. And you know, so many times we let go just a little bit of control.
Right.
So we get a little suddenly.
Right.
But, I mean, and it's just enough to get your, you know, quench your little bit of a thirst. And I don't know. It, you know, we're so human most of the time, and it's so hard to let go.
Well, it is. And I got to thank Joseph on that particular day. Who knows how he woke up that morning?
But, you know, there's so many, and I don't mean stories as in stories, but there's so many written events in the Bible that if we would just read it and see what God did for them and what he does, I mean, just look around in your life. You can't tell me you're not blessed.
Exactly.
Even if you're poor as can be, there's something you can be thankful for.
Absolutely.
For waking up and being breathing, or, you know,
amen.
Just, you know, whatever it is, there's something to be thankful for. And, excuse me,
you know, that reminds me of my mom, okay, because my dad passed away 4 years ago right now with leukemia, and it was, you were there, and it was a sad time and hard time. Madeline, you were there too. And my mom has Alzheimer's, and, you know, for the last few years before dad died, he covered for her. So we really didn't know how seriously ill she was until I had taken them into my home and whatever. And so now mom is being cared for in a beautiful assisted living, and she is, you know, I guess this disease can make people really mean and angry, but for my mother, it has made her sweet and loving and kind. And I was there Friday, and I was sitting there with her in the living room, and she was watching an old movie, or they had it on for a lot of the residents. And I said, "Mom, how are you?" She goes, I'm good. And she said, "I'm happy." I said, "You're happy?" She goes, she said, "Yeah, I'm happy." And I thought, you know, God has a way of taking care of us when we don't even know what's really going on, you know? And she did this again the other day. And I said, "Do you remember when I was here the other day that I told you about the series that I'm teaching at church right now? Being Blessed Beyond." And she said, "Yeah, what was that about?" I said, "It's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able." And I got that far again, second time it happened. I got that far, and she finished the verse. "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think." And she looked at me and she said, "I'm happy and I'm taken care of." And it was just like, wow, God.
But you needed to hear that.
I needed to hear that because I feel guilty, my sisters and I do, you know, because there she is, and I couldn't take care of her any longer.
You physically can't do it.
But yet she's happy, you know?
Everybody thinks because you put somebody someplace for somebody else to take care of them that they're not going to be taken care of as good as what you could do or what you should do.
I proved I couldn't. dropped her, you know, a couple times.
We dropped her a few times.
I just dropped her a couple times.
But, you know, and you needed to hear that.
I did. And that was a blessing
right
there. It was God letting me know that she's content.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember my dad even. She doesn't remember anything about her life. But she's okay right where she is. You know,
I think so many times Alzheimer's patients, when it's first coming on, they have such frustration.
Yes.
Because they can remember some and some things they can't, or things that they try to say don't come out like words or like anything that you can even understand. And so I think, you know, that's God's grace and blessing in this whole disease process for them to just kind of, as they fade into the depths of that disease, he opens other things up.
Yeah, she's just content. She's just content. And it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are in our life circumstances, whatever they might be. And suddenly, there is a moment where Joseph looks face to face with his brothers, and there they are right in front of him. There's that moment, you know? And then the story unfolds, and they, you know, come and go back and forth for about a year, and then they are finally sitting in front of Joseph at a meal. And you all can read all the details in Genesis 43, 44, 45. I'm not going to go into the details, but they're sitting at that meal, Madeline. You know, that meal where Joseph was not allowed, the Egyptians were not allowed to sit at the same table as the Hebrews. So Joseph is being served at his own table, and he arranged it so his chair was facing the brothers. You want to tell them what happened? Okay.
No.
So then the brothers, there they are. The brothers are, and he lined them up by age. Isn't that cool?
Who lined them up?
Joseph. He told the steward.
He told the steward to line them up.
He told the steward.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Yes. Line them up by age. So there was Reuben, there was Simeon, there was Levi, there was Judah, and the rest of them. Okay.
Well,
all the way down in the right order. And he's looking at
them. Because they couldn't sit at the same table, but they just put two tables together.
Yeah.
So he sat at his own table, but he sat across from
him. He sat across from him,
so
and he watched
cool.
them. And now they're all looking amongst themselves and starting to whisper, we're sitting according to our age here.
But you know what? Just think about this. How God works in a situation that the law says you can't do something, or the culture says you can't do something.
Oh, that's a good point.
And how they're still... they're. Theoretically, they're not sitting at the same table.
Right.
But they're still in the same room.
Absolutely. and God gets done what he wants done. Mm-hmm. Because as all this develops and as the meal develops, I mean, it's just amazing. Joseph eventually reveals himself to them. This is who I am. And I find that interesting because Joseph is a type of Jesus. So Jesus is sitting there looking at us, Madeline, all the time. And we're suddenly have a realization like these brothers did. Something's up here. We are arranged according to our age. What's going on here? You got to think one of them was bright enough to figure out, okay, somebody knows this birth order. It couldn't just happen like this, right? And so often we think things just happen, and yet God is behind all these details. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I think all the time. I think all the time we come across that every day. I mean, with all the prayer requests this week, that's another thing. I mean, I just think that it gets revealed.
Yes.
That, you know, like maybe a lot of people didn't know that Mary was being prayed for by all these people. And then you might tell her, like her, some of her family members, and then they hear this, and then that can build their faith.
Yes.
Because, you know, wow, so God really was moving there. I mean,
right.
This isn't just a story that we read out of the Bible that it happened then. He's mm-hmm. alive today doing all the things he did then now.
Right.
And there it is. It's evidence.
Yeah, absolutely, it's evidence. And there's the suddenly moment where they're looking at him, he's looking at them, and then Joseph says to the steward, get everybody out of here. I need to talk to these guys by myself. And at that point, Joseph reveals that he's their brother. And he is just weeping. He's crying. And he's eventually in this story, he just falls on their necks and he's hugging them and crying and telling them he loves them. And that is just so the type of Jesus and how Jesus does with us.
Wow.
That suddenly moment. When we wake up from our whatever we're in and we realize he loves us so much, and all we can do is say thank you. Ooh, Bill, thank you. 33 miles.
What if in the morning when I wake up, even before I fill my coffee cup, I said thank you, thank you. What if I looked at the day and the hours ahead, and before I moved forward, I bowed my head and said thank you. Oh, I said thank you. What if I looked at my life in a different way? Took a little more time to stop and pray. I know it would change all the moments in between. So here I go. Thank you for everything. Thank you for loving me. It don't even matter what tomorrow brings. Well, I will sing my thank you for sun and rain, for what you give and take away. Everything that I had, I could smile and somehow still be glad and say thank you, thank you. 'Cause life is joy, life is pain, but the prayer of my heart will never change. I'll say thank you, oh, I'll say thank you. Oh, what if I looked at my life in a different way? Took a little more time to stop and pray. I know it would change all the moments in between.
Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, at this Thanksgiving season, We got to be doing more of that. We got to be thanking God more. I bet Joseph, when he started hugging those brothers and loving on them, and I bet they too were going, oh, thank you, God. You know, he's not going to kill us.
No kidding.
We're not going into slavery. We are being loved by the second in command of Egypt. We are going, we're being shown favor. Being blessed beyond. I could preach a sermon on that, Madeline. Comment on that,
seven.
Will you?
Well,
woo, seven.
Nine.
Seven or more. No, there's more coming.
Yes. Not only that, just the compassion that he forgave. I mean, there was no question. It wasn't like, you know, he had to first say, hey, we need to talk about, you know, what went on 22 years ago.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
He just, you know, he just came up to them and showed them love and compassion. And that, to me, is very, very moving that, you know, like you said earlier, that's a long time that he could have harbored some ugly stuff. And he had the power to do whatever he wanted. And he just chose to welcome his family and love them and give them what he had.
And that's why they were all blessed
that's
beyond.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't it great? And I love the picture of him sitting at his own table staring at them because he's a type of Jesus. Mm. And I love the fact that Jesus looks at us in our circumstances, our daily things. We may be eating at Burger King or not, or whatever we're doing or wherever we are in our daily, you know, running around our jobs or whatever we are. And Jesus is just sitting there kind of watching. Wonder what you're going to do with this opportunity. You know, we have an opportunity presents itself. What do we do with that opportunity? Mm. Or he says to us, you know, so-and-so needs prayer right now. And he's looking at us, sitting across the table, looking at us going, you going to do that right now? You're going to do that when you find it convenient.
Oh, boy, now I'm really going to feel pressure when I'm out there in the world.
I'm not sitting at any table
eating
anymore.
Eating Burger King.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying, though? I mean, yes. Jesus is saying, look, I'm watching you, you know, and not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
He's watching us with eyes of love. He's looking at his brothers. I think he was chuckling after he put them in order. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and I don't remember the order of the rest of them, or I'd tell you. Benjamin's the last, but there's Dan and there's a bunch of them in between. Mm-hmm. And I think Asher is one of them. And I think that as he's looking at all of these guys, he's chuckling, thinking, I am about to bless your socks off. Mm-hmm. I am about to bless you beyond.
Did they wear socks with their sandals?
They did not. They did not. I am about to bless you beyond all that you could ask or think. I am about to bless you so much, you're just going to yell, uncle, you know, because I'm blessing you so much. I am about to, I think Joseph was sitting there at that table looking at these guys and just kind of laughing on the inside. Boy, this is going to be really cool. Ooh, I can't wait.
It's like at Christmas when you're waiting for somebody to open a gift, you got them.
Yeah. And you hope they like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, knowing that you got it for them and.
You know, I remember so many Christmas Eves that my ex-husband and I would sit up and put all the toys together, you know, mm-hmm. and we would be laughing and thinking, man, tomorrow we're going to see him ride this bike or we're going to see her play with this or we're going to do that. You know, I remember that anticipation. Mm-hmm. We were excited about that. And, of course, I couldn't put anything together. I don't have that talent and ability.
No power.
But I could watch him. And I remember that excitement that we mm-hmm. would share as parents saying, wow, tomorrow it's going to be really cool because, you know, Ryan's going to ride his bike or, you know, all of that. You know, he's going to like this new basketball goal, whatever the case may be. And that's how Joseph was looking at his brothers, you know. He's looking at them with anticipation of the delight that they're going to have in the blessing he's about to bestow upon them. That is profound. And that is how God looks at us. And Jesus is sitting there looking and going, ooh, you're going to love it. You're going to love this gift. You're going to so get excited about this. And we're just sitting there, oh, God, please bless me. And he's going, ah. It's in the hopper. It's already in the hopper. Come on, it's coming to you. It's already on the assembly line. It's coming to you. Woo, Madeline, you have a comment about all that?
Well, I'm looking at a gift that I got this year.
Yes, you are. And why don't you tell our listening audience about that little gift that you're looking at?
That little gift is named Milo, and he is a six-year-old white Pomeranian that
gorgeous
came across my path in July.
Looking
and has been blessing me and everybody I know ever since.
He really has.
He's just a little angel that unfortunately, well, fortunately for me, somebody decided to give away. And I found him at Animal Control. And
look at that blessing.
I don't even know what to say. There's no words that I could accurately describe this. I mean, everybody that meets him has, you know, is overwhelmed by him.
The face.
And he just
spreads joy, doesn't he? Nursing home, everywhere we go.
You know what it is? He's so calm.
He is.
He just brings calm to everything.
Yeah,
brings peace.
Yeah.
And see, God can bless us by the gift of an animal like that. Mm-hmm. He can bless us by the gift of a person coming into our life as a partner, a husband, a wife, whatever it might be. He can bless us with the birth of a child. He can bless us with, you know, just so many ways. Like the other day with me, with my mom, just knowing she was happy and content was huge, mm-hmm. you know? Connie, comment on any of this. You know how God blesses us, will you? Because we're getting ready to wrap up here in a few minutes.
Well, I really would like God to bless me by making one of my favorite patients wake up.
Okay.
So that's what I've been praying for.
All right. What's the first name, or can you tell us?
I can't because it's too unique.
Okay. All right. Don't tell us. Yeah. All right. So we're going to agree with that.
Yeah.
And for this special little person who's four years old.
4 years old.
And she needs to wake up.
Yes.
All right. We agree with you right now in prayer about that.
Amen.
And that God would bless you through that event. And you've been believing God for her for several months now.
Mm-hmm. August.
Since August. Okay. We're going to agree with you about that. Praise God. Those of you out there right now that have special burdens on your heart, maybe you have physical problems, you have illnesses, maybe you have emotional distress, maybe you're just all messed up in some area of your life, and maybe you've got questions and you don't understand what God's plan is for your life. We want to pray with you right now. Lord, we just come before you in Jesus' precious name. Let's go back a bill to track four and put that low behind me, will you? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come before you and we thank you for your many blessings in our lives. So often we don't even understand how you could bless us. We feel like we don't deserve it. Lord, there may be listeners out there right now that feel unworthy of all your blessings. And maybe they don't even realize that they need to give thanks, like this song says, with a grateful heart. Lord, let today be the beginning of a life change in these that are listening and those that listen to this show in the future on our website. Lord, let this be the day where they decide to give thanks and believe you for the miracles, the suddenly moments that need to happen in their lives, to believe you for the great plan that you have for their life, the plan that's going to exceed their wildest dreams and be exactly the plan that you have for them. Lord, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for me. Lord, let these that are listening right now reach out and believe you for their miracle. For blind eyes, Lord, we speak healing in Jesus' name to those blind eyes. For people with ache in their bones, in their muscles, Lord, we just speak healing right now. We stand against all that achiness in those muscles and those bones. For those right now, God, that have back issues that are just so paralyzing to them, we speak your healing touch right now on those backs. Lord, for those that are poor financially, that don't know where that next dollar is coming from and don't know how, you're going to supply. God, we speak that we give thanks right now for the abundance that you're pouring into these lives where these that are reaching out to you and believing you for their miracle right now. Lord, we can't even begin to give you enough thanks for the miracle of Mary and her healing this week. Absolute miracle. So, Lord, we thank you for the miracle of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, from this moment on, that we can draw on your power, your anointing. We can draw on your strength by giving thanks in the midst of whatever struggle we are going through. So, Lord, we come before you right now and stand in the gap for all these that are listening now and in the future, that they would indeed draw on your strength, your healing power, your touch in their lives. Bring healing, restoration, oh God, to hurting lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whoa.
Wow.
Madeline and Connie, you can have some final words here for this show.
Good show.
It's fun, isn't it? Don't we love doing it? Mm-hmm. How many now? We're 4.5 years into this. Oh, no, I do know. We're number 241. It's right here on my paper. Mm-hmm. So final thoughts, Connie.
Just give God a chance. Let him take control and see how he does.
Yes.
If he doesn't do it as good as you do, then take it back. Take back control. That's all you got to do.
She said that tongue in cheek. You're a blessing, Connie. You're a blessing to the show. You're a blessing for all the music that you put together faithfully every week. You're a blessing as our director of counseling. Everything that you put your hand to prospers, and we thank God for that. You're a blessing with your work, with your patients at the hospital. We thank God for you. Give thanks for you. Some final thoughts there, Madeline.
I think that maybe people just need to know, don't worry about how to pray. You know, don't worry about knowing scriptures from the Bible, because I don't. I read the Bible, but I can't, you know, recite. I'm not good at memorizing. But just talk to God, you know, just talk. Let him know what's going on in your life and just be quiet with him and, you know, it'll go
develop
from there.
That personal relationship, right? Develop that personal relationship. Talk to him. Draw close to God. He will draw close to you, and that's what it's all about.
And listen to some cool praise music, you know. And
doesn't that change your life?
Yes.
Oh, Connie, you've lived that way all your life, haven't you? Well, since not all your life, but
a good share.
Yeah,
you know, of my 25 years on earth.
There you go.
Oh, sorry,
she's lying too.
Somebody's
these days
choking in here. Who it is?
I'm like
That's true. You're like seven, aren't you?
I know, the pastor's like 43.
There you go. I am 43. Yeah. Anyway, but Madeline, the blessings that God brings to us on a daily basis, sometimes we take them for granted, but we just need to continue to give him thanks, don't we, in the midst of all of it?
Yep. Even if you're, you know, you don't, I mean, it'd be nice if you can do it joyfully, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm, you know, I'm praying and praising him and thanking him through tears. And that's okay, because he knows what's going on. And,
absolutely.
But he knows I'm trying, and he knows that I'm, you know, I'm no matter what, I still believe, and I'm grateful, and I know it's going to turn around.
Thank you. And you're a blessing to this ministry, Madeline.
Yes,
ma'am. What's such a sweetheart. You were Jeannie's caretaker, her niece, for a number of years. You helped her so much, and we always are grateful and thankful for what you've done and what you contribute to the ministry at Beacon of Hope.
Woo, she's a Connie, rock star drummer.
She is a rock star drummer. Connie, do you have anything else you want to say?
I did, but it went out of my mind.
All right, it's out of her mind.
Bye-bye.
We are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's always a joy to be with you. Tell some people about the show. It's a great way to introduce them to the ministry of Beacon of Hope. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to a service, experience what God is doing. It'll blow your mind. It's really cool what God is doing on a daily basis. If you have a prayer request this week, we invite you to use our prayer chain that goes around the world, prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's got an IES on the end of it. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. It's because it's plural, a lot of ministries going on through Beacon of Hope.
That's right.
So it's prayers at BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Jot a note. Just say, please pray for me. You can say what's going on you want prayer with for, or you don't even have to say what it is, but just send us a note and we will get that to our prayer team. If you want to be a part of a prayer team that is changing lives, send a note to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com and ask to be put on the prayer team. And you can be, whether or not you come to Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, Florida or not. It doesn't matter. So we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Wednesday at 7 for Bible study. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my buddies Connie and Madeline. And it's been good to be with you. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Check us out and tune in again next week at 4 o'clock live Tampa time on this radio station. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you, and God loves you.
His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes, and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no It's not far.